It's time now to dip into Naked Astronomy's postbag and to answer some of your questions. And John Bondi has got in touch. In one of the podcasts I put out from the National Astronomy Meeting in July, Catherine Haymans from the University of Edinburgh talked us through the evidence for dark matter. She explained that galaxies like the Milky Way appear to be rotating faster than physics can easily account for.
So let's think about our own Milky Way galaxy. So we've got stars that are spinning round in our own Milky Way galaxy. And you can look how fast they're moving round. And you can do this in lots of galaxies as well. Now, if you imagine a piece of string and a ball on the end of a piece of string, you can swing that ball around. Now, the faster you swing that ball around, the tighter you've got to hold onto the string. Okay, what does this mean for our galaxy? Well, the ball is now your stars. And there's no string that's holding the stars as they go round our galaxy. It's gravity. You get lots of gravity if you've got lots of mass. And we can see how fast the stars are moving around. We can roughly count how many stars there are in a galaxy. We know roughly how much a star weighs. And there just simply isn't enough gravity in our galaxy to keep those stars going round. They're just moving too fast. And so that means there must be extra mass there, which we call dark matter, to keep those stars going round. If there wasn't a big halo of dark matter around our own Milky Way galaxy, all the stars would just simply fly out into the universe.
But what John wants to know is why we talk about dark matter as being such a strange, exotic material. We know that black holes exist and that there are probably lots of faint stars in the universe that we can't see. So couldn't these account for the missing mass that hold the galaxy together? I asked Ross Church at the Lund Observatory what he thought.
So the first thing is we can work out how much dark matter there is in the galaxy. It turns out by looking at how fast the stars in the outer part of the galaxy move. And there aren't many stars in the outer part of the galaxy, so we would expect to find that the speed with which they go around the centre of the galaxy goes down as you go further out through the galaxy. But instead we find that it remains roughly constant from quite near the centre of the galaxy all the way out to the edge. And from this we infer that there's a large amount of matter missing. And it turns out that this fits quite well with a picture that we get from looking at the cosmic microwave background. Then the second thing is we can measure the total mass in the universe in what's called baryons. Those are protons, neutrons and electrons, particles that we're familiar with. And we can do that because we know that very early on, the universe was much hotter and denser than it is today. And the baryons in the form of hydrogen then reacted together to form helium. And in fact, the density of that baryonic material of the protons in the early part of the universe determines what fraction of them turned from hydrogen into helium. Then we can measure that ratio of hydrogen to helium by looking at low mass stars inside the galaxy. And in those stars, the material has not had chance to be processed, gone through nuclear reactions within the stars itself. And what we find is that about a quarter of that material has been transformed from hydrogen into helium. And that tells us that the total fraction of the mass in the universe is about 2%.
So the sun is turning hydrogen into helium by nuclear fusion. That same process was happening in the very early universe. And by seeing how much of that hydrogen was turned into helium, you can actually determine how much mass there was in the very early universe.
Exactly so, yes.
If dark matter was in the form of compact objects, would you be able to observe them when they came close to the sun, for example?
It turns out that you would, but in fact, the best place to see them is when they're located halfway between here and the centre of the galaxy. And to do that, you look at a large number of stars in the galactic bulge in the centre of the galaxy. And if a compact object, such as a black hole or a low-mass star or even a free-floating planet, comes between the star and you, and very precisely across that line of sight, then its mass causes the light coming from the star towards you to be focused. It acts as what's called a gravitational lens. So in practice, what you see is the brightness of that star increases very sharply and then goes back down again. And you can measure the timescale on which it brightens and becomes faint again. And from that, you can measure the mass of the compact thing, which you, of course, never see, that passes in front of the line of sight. And actually, by doing that, what you find is that the number of compact objects, such as black holes, is consistent with the population of stars that we see inside the galaxy. So in other words, basically all of the stellar mass compact objects in the galaxy have been made within the galaxy by the stars of the galaxy.
Thanks, Ross. That was Dr. Ross Church from the Lund Observatory. And if you've got a question you want us to tackle, you can get in touch by sending an email to astronomy@thenakedscientist.com.